Welcome to Smashpieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on the show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2019's Fire Emblem Three Houses. Or at least that's usually what we're doing, but we're not doing that right now. That's not what this episode is. We don't even have a game to talk about this week. We're just sort of... So here's the thing. Banjo has taken even longer than we thought it would.
Than you thought it would. I told you this was how long it was going to take.
Well, due to a variety of factors. Not the least of which is, like...
Grunty Industries.
Grunty Industries is one of the biggest reasons. There's also the fact that it just so happened that Banjo-Tooie fell on the two worst months of the year for your job and the worst month of the year for my job.
I told you this was a long game.
You didn't
want to believe me.
At time of recording, I'm done playing it, and you potentially might finish tomorrow?
Maybe. Hopefully.
Not 100%, but hope that's the hope.
I'm at 55 jiggies right now, so...
That's where I was on my last session, so... Because that's 15 away from finishing the game.
Yeah, and I'm not going to have to take 20 minutes going back to Banjo-Kazooie to get Stop and Swap, because I already did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so we'll get that episode out probably sometime early January, if I had to take a guess. I really kind of wanted to get it out within 2020, but man, that didn't work out. So here we are. This is going to be kind of a laid back little bonus thing. We don't really have a singular game to talk about, and just how were your holidays? How did they go in this weird hell year?
Yeah, that's kind of the state of the holidays right now, in that they just kind of went.
Yeah.
Nothing in particular really went on, but it's been busy with my job, and, like, I'm finally done with the holiday stuff. Things are going to get a lot more laid back now. I get to just relax a lot. I even took off, like, the full week between Christmas and New Year's, and it's just time to sit back and just not for a bit.
Yeah, I was supposed to go into work today, and I just told my boss, like, I'm not coming in today, man. I'm tired, and I'm just going to take 3 full days off, which is a rarity for me. So, yeah, it was kind of the same for me. Like, obviously big familial gatherings right now are not recommended for obvious reasons.
They are out of the question entirely.
So I went over to my grandparents' house for a bit, and my mother and I were the only people that went. My great-grandparents were supposed to be there, but that's going poorly.
Hmm.
So I don't want to get too much into that, because that's a downer, but yeah, that didn't work out. And then there was a Zoom call with some family. And that's really about it. Did you get anything?
Not particularly, but I got myself a one of those fancy new NVIDIA graphics cards.
Yeah.
The RTX 3070. And I learned the hard way that my CPU can't keep up with it. So, once again, Sisyphus must take a trip up the hill.
And buy a new CPU.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we have both been struggling to try and get a PS5.
I mean, that was expected, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of, the 3080 and the 3070 hunt gave me a preview of what the consoles were going to be like. So I am not remotely fazed by this. And I'm just kind of at the point where it's like, I don't feel like I urgently need a PS5. It would just be nice to have one. Because then I can sell my PS4.
I don't know if I'd sell my PS4. I probably honestly would if I just transfer everything over. I mean, I don't see why not, but...
Well, you gotta really play that Samurai Champloo game, you know?
Oh, you're right. And also, PT. I never got PT. I got a PS4 after PT already went away. And that's... I got 2 weighted blankets. Because they're supposed to help with, like, anxiety and stuff. One is on my bed, and the other is out in the living room, where my cat has already put a hole in it, because he's a bastard man.
They're also just really comfy.
They're also very comfortable. It's a nice thing to have. And also, we got a toaster, because we haven't had a toaster in this apartment in like 2 years, because the last toaster we had was so bad that it would only cook one side of whatever you put in, and then you had to like take it out and flip it around and then run the toaster again.
Well, if you've gotten this long, it sounds like you're doing fine without one.
Yeah, but I wanted to, I used to, this is an unhealthy habit of mine.
Oh, no.
Do not be like me, children. I used to buy entire boxes of frozen Eggo waffles and just eat them all like in one go. And it's bad for you. Don't do that, kids. But I missed doing that because I like Eggo waffles. They're good. Blueberry specifically is what I usually grab. Sometimes the apple cinnamon. That's okay. That's the response that story deserved. No, it's fine.
I've heard worse.
I mean, we've both heard worse. We heard about Ben's roommate back in the day. I'm not that far gone.
Look, I had someone that almost asked for like a bottle of concentrated citric acid for Christmas.
We both had somebody that did that. Yeah. That girl's got problems. So 2020 was a weird year, in more ways than one, but also, like, I figured we could go through, we got 10 games handily done this year, sort of 11, if you count Banjo, but not really, well, technically 12, but, you know, but I wanted to sort of, like, real quickly, go over the games that we played. So, I know this feels like 30 years ago, but we did start this year with Game & Watch Gallery.
Yeah, technically I never streamed that one, but
yeah,
I kind of wish that I had, because like Game & Watch Gallery, I really like Manhole. Like, I just go hard on that game. Like, what did I get, like 600 points?
I think so. I don't remember. I'd have to go watch the VOD and hear what you said, but man, that sure was a game to start, especially like straight out of Final Fantasy VII. Like, we made the joke back then of, like, our longest game yet, followed by a game we'll finish in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and then from there we went to Star Fox 64.
Which, yeah. I don't know if, did you ever go back and try to finish it, or try the 3DS version?
I did not.
Because I really think that you could enjoy it a lot more on 3DS. Unfortunately, that's just a game that is ruined by poorly calibrated analog controls.
Unfortunately, all of the 64 games seem to be exactly that. Like, all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've said this 1,000 times. It's because of the physical way that the 64 controller analog stick works, where it's not really an analog stick.
Yeah, it destroyed pretty much every game. Every 64 game that I played on it, at the very least, including Star Fox 64, because putting the C buttons on the right analog stick is the worst possible place. And I don't know where else they'd fucking put them, but it's the worst possible place for them to go. The C buttons only worked because they were built like the Switch's D-pad on the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
Where it was impossible to accidentally input a different direction than you meant. But on an analog stick, that's a constant fear.
It's rough. It's really rough. But Star Fox 64, the last good Star Fox game, so.
But we still gotta play two more.
We sure do. I agree.
Following that, we moved into Yoshi's Story, which, if I remember correctly, our opinion on was basically, that sure is a game that was made by people and it exists.
It is more extensive than I expected it to be, and surprisingly shallow despite that. I'm looking at our list of everything we played this year, and I remember Yoshi's Story the least.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I actually recently played Super Mario World 2, and it's a good game. It's better than Yoshi's Story, I think, but I think they both have about the same level of memorableness for me, if that makes sense.
I haven't played Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island in like a decade, and I still remember more of that game than Yoshi's Story.
Yeah, I think that game is good, and especially when I had, you know, the rewind from the Switch Online. I do think it's better than Yoshi's Story, and I think, yeah, it probably would have been a better idea to go Yoshi's Island instead of Yoshi's Story. But,
and Yoshi's Story doesn't have Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy.
That's true, but it does have the cotton candy boss that you beat by eating him.
And, like, the Lotus Juice song.
And the Lotus Juice song, yes, this is correct.
So I guess that's one up, isn't it?
Yeah, that means we picked the right game. That one song specifically. And then we had to go back in time and play the King of Fighters 95.
Which, that game was better than I expected it to be.
KOF is cool. I think King of Fighters 13 is on sale on Steam right now. That's the one that's supposed to have, like, some of the best sprite work in, like, video games and fighting games, like, ever.
Let me go check right now. Yeah, it looks like there is a franchise sale going on.
Oh, nice. By the time you hear this, that might be over, but I don't know.
13 is $5?
I might buy that.
And 14 is 30.
I probably won't buy that. Even though I've heard 14 is very good. And I enjoyed my time with 95. I don't feel like I still don't feel like I was, like, qualified to talk about that game. And, like, same with Street Fighter 2, sort of.
It's a shame that we never managed to, like, really find, like, an Evo stream to watch.
Because I think that really added a lot to Street Fighter 2. But, like, Street Fighter 2, obviously, one of the most influential fighting games of all time, versus King of Fighters 95, one of the very many King of Fighters games. many of which I don't think have scenes anymore. So, I'm not super surprised, but it was a bit of a bummer, yeah.
One of these days I would like to try to get more into King of Fighters overall. 14, maybe, I think I just made a mistake picking it up on PS4 instead of on Steam.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because I feel like I would like it a lot more on PC. Because it's just more difficult to, like, really pick up my PS4 to play games on it nowadays.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Speaking of PlayStations, though, after that we went to Metal Gear Solid, where we had the Civil War, essentially.
Which, I would still say that I am on the correct side of history there.
Whatever you say. I think both have pros and cons to them, honestly. I think both have significant pros and cons.
I'm sad we're not going to revisit Metal Gear again on this show, though, because that whole franchise has so much that could be said about it.
You say that, but we also said that about Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, but Metal Gear is more. Let's be honest. Metal Gear is... Metal Gear...
Raiden could show up, like, tomorrow for all we know.
I don't think we're going to see a new Metal Gear anything ever again.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, I don't know. Konami, if they're looking to revive Silent Hill, surely Metal Gear Solid will be on that list at some point.
Wasn't the last new Metal Gear thing, like, Snake appearing in Bomberman?
I think so.
4 years ago?
That's the closest. There was also Survive before that, which everybody promptly forgot about.
I legit forgot Survive happened.
And the Pachinko Machine. How did you forget about the fucking Fox Engine remake of Snake Eater?
The Pachinko Machine was way before that.
Was it? I think it was after Phantom Pain, at the very least.
Oh, right. Apparently that movie's getting made. Allegedly.
Allegedly. It's... Look... Until somebody is on set and filming has started and I can see a trailer, That movie's not real. Same with the Uncharted movie. I don't care if Tom Holland says, yeah, I'm definitely on set for Uncharted. That movie's not real.
Metal Gear more so, though, because that movie's been in production for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, I think Metal Gear's been in production for just as long.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, Metal Gear, I don't know how long the Uncharted movie's been.
Oh, Uncharted has been for roughly since Drake's Fortune came out, I'm pretty sure. If not Among Thieves.
Because I'm looking at it right now. Metal Gear Solid film adaptation was first announced in May of 2006.
Nice. Jeez. Yeah, so it's... I don't believe that movie is real until I have a trailer in front of me that I'm actively watching. And also, that movie's going to suck. Like, it's going to be bad. Unless it's a completely original story where Snake just happens to be, it's going to be terrible. You cannot translate Metal Gear Solid 1 into a film without it being, like, 6 hours long.
Okay, this is where I need to go on my soapbox about, like, video game adaptation movies, because I'm never going to get this chance again. The thing about video game adaptations is that fans tend to be wrong about what they want there. There is this baggage that video game adaptations should be, like, the story of the video game, whereas, like, a lot of other mediums are a lot more willing to take liberties wherever they need to. Like, they'll have the same overall idea of a story, but the details will be totally different. Think of some of, like, the most famous, successful book adaptations of all time, like Fight Club and The Shining, which made big changes. And The Shining, for example, Stephen King, the author of the original book, doesn't like that movie at all because of how much they changed. And it's one of the most famous movies ever made.
I think he's recently come around on it, but yeah, he was not super happy with Kubrick's work on The Shining when it first released.
Adaptation demands change. But the reason that I think that, like, video game fans in particular seem to expect things to be exactly the same is because there tends to be a lot of overlap with video game fans and anime fans. And anime is adapted from manga pretty much one-to-one, which, in my opinion, also is pretty bad. There are times when I'm watching an anime and I can just feel, like, the action just stopped on a still frame because that's what the manga page looked like.
And there is hope that this will be the direction they go. That's how the Uncharted movie is going. It is not an adaptation of any of the games. It is a story that takes place before any of the games.
Yeah, it needs to. And you can see this in reverse with the best licensed video games being original stories. Look at the Spider-Man game from 2018. It's not a direct adaptation of any Spider-Man story. It's a brand new Spider-Man story. And it's the best Spider-Man video game ever.
The Arkham games, too.
So, like, we need to stop treating, like, we need to stop looking at it in terms of this story needs to be told on film. We need to take this franchise's ideas and core appeal and adapt it. Adaptation is all about change. That's why the word is adaptation. That's what it means. And, like, when I look at people talking about the Metal Gear movie of, like, well, how are they going to fit in, like the whole Foxhound unit, Shadow Moses and all that? It's like, they're not. That's not the point. Don't do that. Don't ask for that. That would be a bad movie.
But I want to see the thing happen.
Take the core idea of this super soldier spy who is wrapped up in this genetic mess and make a story about that. That's what it needs to be.
So, from Metal Gear, we didn't talk about the game at all, but whatever.
We have a whole episode talking about the game.
That's true. From Metal Gear, we moved to Ocarina of Time right after that.
Which I think is my best set of streams.
I think I would agree with that, honestly. It was very clear that, like, you knew exactly what you were doing. And, yeah, it was very, very enjoyable. Not to say that your streams aren't usually enjoyable, but, but yeah, I think I agree with you on that. You, it's always fun to watch. Like, there are two types of streams. There's the I've never played this type of stream where it's like a literal blind playthrough, which are what most of mine are. For instance, I had never played Star Fox 64. And then there's, you know, streams that, like, the streamer has a intimate knowledge of the game being played. And both have their merits. And obviously there's that middle point where, like, yeah, I played this game a couple of times, but, like, I'm just going to replay it. But yeah, I think it's always just super entertaining to watch somebody that intimately knows a game play it. And I think that's what you got with Ocarina of Time. And that's what people got with a different game later on from me. But yeah, I played it on 3DS, obviously, which you'd know if you listened to the Ocarina of Time episode. And that port is still really good. Like, really, really good.
Yeah, I would say that for playing casually, that is easily the definitive version of the game. Obviously, when you get into specialized stuff like speedruns and other stuff like that, the original is the optimal way for all that. But, like, the 3DS game is a fantastic port it's an easy recommendation. I would not say there's really a single thing that got really ruined in the 3DS port.
Yeah.
Which is not universally true for that franchise.
Yeah. Sure ain't. From there, we moved on to Pokemon Snap, which, hey, that game's still real good. I can't wait for the sequel that we summoned personally. Us.
Yes, we made that happen.
We summoned Pokemon Snap 2, and nobody can prove it otherwise.
Sure does suck that there'll never be a Banjo 3E.
It sure does. You gotta make sure you say that at the end of your stream. We gotta make sure we say that in the episode, actually.
Yep.
And we'll summon it.
It's never, ever happening.
Never happening. Definitely not in this era where Killer Instinct and Battletoads and Perfect Dark have all been revived.
But actually, Banjo 3E would kind of suck because, like, none of the people that were involved in Banjo are really there anymore.
I mean, it might help to get some new faces in there, because Yooka-Laylee was the one made by the people who made Banjo, and...
That's fair.
That game still had some issues. So, you know. But yeah. Pokemon Snap, we made it happen. I would like my check now, please, Pokemon Company.
Man, people are going to hate Pokemon Snap, too, because they don't remember that Pokemon Snap is 45 minutes long.
This game better not be 45 goddamn minutes long, I swear to God. And it better have more than 57 Pokemon.
I don't think it'll be 45 minutes, but it won't be longer than, like, 3 hours.
I mean, to be fair, we still don't know anything about it. Like, we know nothing about it. Outside of a little bit of footage that didn't even tell us how the game's going. Like, is it still going to be a rail shooter? I don't fucking know.
Oh, yeah, that game's... Well, that's because it's going to be quietly canceled, like Pokemon Sleep.
Did Pokemon Sleep get canceled? I'm now realizing we haven't heard shit about Pokemon Sleep.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard about Pokemon Sleep? The announcement.
I actually forgot Pokemon Sleep was a thing.
It's right up there with the Vitality Sensor.
The Vitality Sensor and... what was the... I think I talked about it on Original Sound Chat recently.
You did.
The Cranky Kong, playable in Tropical Freeze. Okay, cool. You got anything else? Nope, that was it. That was the whole announcement.
Pokemon Sleep was announced on May 28th, 2019. The game was planned to be released in 2020, but missed this deadline.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. From there, speaking of playing a game you know intimately, we moved to Donkey Kong 64, the best game on the list. Undisputed by both of us.
I don't think I ever ended up going back and watching some of your streams on that.
I had a lot of fun streaming that game, mostly because I just knew exactly what to do and where to go, because I've played that game way, way, way too much. Way too much.
I would agree with that.
No self-respecting person should play Donkey Kong 64 as much as I have.
Donkey Kong 64 was an interesting prequel to Tooie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think my, and obviously again, we'll get into this in the actual Tooie episode. I think if I hadn't grown up with Donkey Kong 64, I would have felt about it the same as I feel about Tooie.
I think that Tooie and 64 have opposite problems that lead to the same feelings.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. And again, the only reason DK64 doesn't do that to me is because I was 9 when it came out, and I played it a lot. Mm. It was one of the first video games I ever played.
We will definitely have more to say about that very soon.
Yeah,
that's with the hat. Pat's been waiting for us for a while, huh?
Pat has been waiting for us for 2 months. He was at the final boss in November, like halfway through November.
Yeah, like a week after we recorded with him. Like, I'm sitting in a Discord call with him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I worked my way through Grunty Industries today because I figured I had to keep up with you guys. And I'm like, Pat, I haven't started.
And at that point, like, Pat, I was, like, in Witchy World.
Yeah. Oh, this poor guy.
This poor guy. From there, we played Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards. I still like that game a lot. We should do a bonus episode on Dream Land 3 and bring Neil back to talk about that game. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I was actually thinking about playing Dream Land 3 today, honestly. Because I found myself watching the VOD of this, actually. And it's kind of insane that I've never played Dream Land 3, ever.
Same. Same here. It's on Nintendo Switch Online now, so... I mean, and yeah, I think we should do a bonus episode on that at some point and bring Neil in to talk about it. Because he mentioned that he would be super down with doing that. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially with the way he always talks about the Dark Matter trilogy. Like, that's the one piece of the trilogy that I've never played, so.
I haven't played the other two. 64 is the only one.
Dream Land 2 is a little tough to go back to because it's an original Game Boy game. But I would say I'd say it mostly holds up.
Okay. And then lastly, for the year of games we have finished, was Majora's Mask. Which is still, like, non-ironically, I joked about it with Donkey Kong 64, but non-ironically might actually be the best game on the list.
Yeah, easily for me. I love Majora's Mask. It is our most recent full episode, so you don't have to go back very far to hear what I have to say about it, but I don't think it's possible for another game on our list to top it. For me, I love that game so much.
Yeah, it's just so well made. And obviously, like you said, we have a whole episode. It's our most recent regular episode, just of us gushing about Majora's Mask for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I think the Mega Cycle is my single favorite thing that I've done. My favorite single stream that I've ever done. Which I wish that I'd saved a local recording of it, because I saw how it turned out on YouTube when we just exported it from Twitch, and it did not turn out very well.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of having to use that method.
We should actually legitimately probably stop doing that.
I actually can't.
If I try to
record and stream at the same time, then I start dropping frames like crazy.
You should export from Twitch instead of uploading to YouTube and then exporting from YouTube.
Potentially. I'll try that.
I actually literally just did that, and it turns out perfectly.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll do that from now on then. Perfect. But we also released 4 bonus episodes this year. 4 whole bonus episodes.
We should have done a fifth.
We probably should have done a fifth. That's why this is happening. So we started with an April Fool's game being, Dragon Ball FighterZ, because that game still rules.
I'm looking at the Steam version right now. The Ultimate Edition's like $15. I said I'm looking at it right now, but I'm literally not. Let me go check.
It's like $15 on Steam or on Switch right now too.
Yeah, the base game is $10. The Ultimate Edition, which I assume comes with all three Fighters Passes.
No. Seems to only come with 1 and 2, as far as I can tell.
Oh, that's okay. Fighters Pass 3 looks kind of bad.
Yeah, but Roshi...
Then I'll buy Roshi alone.
But, yeah, it's on sale on both Switch. I almost bought it on Switch, actually, recently. Because... God, that game's so good. That game is so good. I really wish its roster was better.
Yeah, it's back in the news for that, isn't it?
What with its fucking... I did the math at some point, I think. It's somewhere on my Twitter. I'm gonna dig back and find it, but it's just so many fucking Gokus. I love Goku. I love Dragon Ball. Oh my god, why are there so many goddamn Gokus?
There's 8 Gokus, I think, right? What percentage of the roster is Goku?
At least 20%, I think.
That's horrifying.
See. Brings our grand total to about 7.5 Gokus. That depends on how you count Bardock. Which, if you count Bardock, that's 8 Gokus. Which is Goku, Blonde Goku, Blue Goku, Short Goku, Evil Goku, Glowy Goku. And if you want a little dilution, we got half Goku in a vest, and half Goku in a vest, but now his hair is black and he has Fred fur.
Let's see, how many characters are in this game total? 43.
So that's like, what?
7.5 divided by 43 is 17%.
Oh my god, 17%, the same character. And that's not even getting into how many of those are also Vegeta. Which Vegeta's not nearly as bad, but he's still got a couple.
But yeah. Only one Cell.
Only one Cell. Only one Frieza.
Oh, Great Saiyaman? Nah, he's going to be an assist for a different character.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with that, because that means Videl got to be... I would rather...
No, I agree with you. I'm fine with that, but that's how the rest of these should be. We don't have Super Saiyan 3 Goku because he's a super move for another Goku, and that's how they should all be.
I kind of thought that Super Saiyan 4 Goku would sort of be the same, and then it was like, oh, technically I was right. It's just Gogeta now, baby.
Like, I get it. Goku has had a lot of forms over the years. I think he's earned more than one slot in the roster, but I'd say like 3. 3 max. Not 8.
No Dragon Ball characters. No Chi-Chi. Nobody needs any Chi-Chi. Why would we want Chi-Chi? Have another Goku. Gohan's like half a Chi-Chi, and there's 2 of him, so that's 2 Chi-Chi. That's 1 Chi-Chi. We also did one on the recently released Final Fantasy VII Remake. Which, that game rules.
Now, yeah, Remake is fantastic. Honestly, like, Sephiroth getting announced has just, like, rekindled my, I need to go back and get the Platinum in Remake.
I kind of want to replay it, because I've been listening to the soundtrack, like, nonstop since Sephiroth got announced. It's just such a good game, and I don't want to say too much on it, because it is the only one on here that is, like, a recent release. It came out less than a year ago. But, oh, man, it's really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've caught myself, like, going back and watching parts of it on YouTube and everything, like, watching different people's reactions to different parts of it. I really think Remake turned out very well. You know, like, last 5% of it be damned. The first 95% of it is fantastic.
And here's hoping they maybe stick the landing with part 2, but I have no idea what part 2 is going to look like.
We actually know nothing about part 2 besides the fact that it exists.
Yeah, and it's supposedly in development right now, but I don't believe you, Nomura, until I see gameplay.
We don't even know the basics about it. I'm pretty sure we had this exact conversation in April.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
We don't know the simplest basics of it. That's the most worrying thing for me.
Because I think you said this where it was like the very next thing that happens after Remake ends in the original game is you walk out onto a world map. What the fuck is that gonna look like?
There's no world map in Remake yet. That's why I said people are like, well, it should come a lot faster because they've already done a lot of the work for like the game engine and everything. It's like they really haven't.
And then we also played a classic, being Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which we both came away kind of lukewarm on.
I feel bad about that, but I also still don't like it. like I feel really bad giving a negative opinion of it, but I also still don't like it.
Yeah, I think it being matched up against Super Metroid 2, like, no, it just doesn't hold up as well.
And it's also because, like, for me, how much I loved Rondo. Like, I loved Rondo enough that, like, it changed my whole philosophy for approaching old hard games on this show. Because, like, I sat and fought that one boss, that one boss rush for, like, an hour, and it felt great when I finally got through it. And, like, nowadays, I kind of look back on, like, how I did some of the older episodes, like, with the beginning games for this show, and I kind of feel bad that I didn't try to get the best possible experience out of the game. I just wanted to get it over with, and Rondo was the first game that I really didn't do that for. So, like, Rondo's a very important game to me because of like what it did for my attitude in this show. And then Symphony of the Night just like throws Rondo out.
Yeah. But nah. And then our most recent bonus episode, which was actually our last release before this, was Metroid Fusion, which I don't think we got to say a lot on that, because again, that's the most recent release.
Yeah, we just talked about that one.
So yeah, you can go check that out. I do wanna take a look into the future though, for like the next just rapid fire. I don't want to talk a bunch about these because that's for the pre-show when we actually get to these games. But rapid fire, how you feel these are gonna go? Ready? Pokemon Puzzle League.
That was a mistake.
It's gonna be a disaster.
We have actually made a mistake.
It is going to be an absolute disaster. It's going to be a terrible month, and I am terrified of it. Pokemon Stadium 2.
I think that one's going to be neat. I don't think we're going to enjoy it, but we're going to be happy we did it.
I agree, and I'll also get to tell the story about why I hate Dunsparce, specifically because of Pokemon Stadium 2.
I think everyone that's ever played Gym Leader Castle already knows that story.
Yeah, well, so many people, when I say I hate Dunsparce, are like, what? Why do you? He's like one of my favorite Pokemon. It's like, no, fuck him. Fuck Dunsparce. Dr. Mario 64.
I am not confident that anyone else has ever played that game. I just made our Spotify thing for that game. There's no official art for that game anywhere. It doesn't even have a real logo. It's just the Dr. Mario series logo with a 64 put on in like Photoshop text. It actually, that game might be a cryptid that I imagined in my sleep.
Are you sure this game is real and not a creepy pasta you made?
It might not be real.
We'll find out.
I had to cobble together sprites from the title screen.
Animal Crossing, a little inside baseball. Animal Crossing's already done.
I have a lot of work to still do on that.
Well, not like quote unquote done, but like we've already played it. So look forward to that. It'll be fun.
I have a lot of work to still do on that.
Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion's probably going to be a nice time. I think it's going to be a relaxing game.
I think I'm really looking forward to going back to playing Luigi's Mansion, actually. I've never replayed it. I've only played it the once. I'm looking forward to it. I remember liking that game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pikmin,
I love, you're going to hate.
Probably. there's a high chance that I will probably dislike Pikmin.
Part of me kind of thinks maybe we should have done Pikmin 2, but also Pikmin 2 is a fucking slog.
I've never played a Pikmin game. I think I played like an hour of Pikmin 3 once, because I got it for free at some point from like My Nintendo or something. Or Club Nintendo, sorry. It was Club Nintendo back in those yonder days. But yeah, I've never played a Pikmin game, so. Pac-Man World 2.
I don't know a damn thing about this game.
I don't know anything about it at all. I have no idea how it's going to go. It's that one I'm actually like really looking forward to simply because it's the only game in this group where it's like, I know fucking jack shit about this game. Let's do it.
I don't know anything about that game.
Super Mario Sunshine.
I just replayed it on the Mario 3D All-Stars collection, actually. Because I think you've never played it, but I've played it plenty of times. I don't have much to gain from a quote-unquote fresh perspective on it.
Yeah, I've never played it. It'll be my first time going through it when we play it, so I've been saving it.
I think, I still think that game gets more shit than it deserves. It has problems for sure, but it gets way more shit than it deserves.
I have played a very, very small bit of it. Like, very, very small bit. So much that this is essentially going to be my first time touching Super Mario Sunshine. And I remember not liking it. And then I was one of those people that was like, Mario Sunshine's bad. Even though I played like 15 minutes of Mario Sunshine, and that's not enough time to tell if a game is bad.
So the 3D All-Stars version actually just got updated so that you can now use the GameCube controller natively for the original controls. And I strongly recommend you do that when you play.
I will probably do that.
It makes a substantial difference.
And the last one, I will do for this one because I really don't think we're going to hit over 10. I don't even know if we're going to hit 10, this year, this upcoming 2021 year, but it's Metroid Prime.
I think we'll get past this. I'm looking at this and it's like Puzzle League. We put a hard cutoff of a month on. I think Gym Leader Castle is going to take 2 weeks at most. Mario 64 is going to be one sitting. Animal Crossing should hopefully be like a week or two. Luigi's Mansion's really short. Pikmin's kind of long. Pac-Man World 2's kind of long. Mario Sunshine's kind of long. I think we'll at least get through Fire Emblem.
Okay, well, we'll go up to Fire Emblem then. That can be our optimistic goal. To be fair, I thought we were going to be like past Dr. Mario 64 by the end of 2020. Which was foolish on my part.
I told you Banjo's long.
So yeah, Metroid Prime.
That game's so good.
I've never played it.
That game's really good.
I've never played it. I own Trilogy on Wii U. That is how I will be playing it, which I'm going to have to figure out because where my sensor bar currently sits is not going to be very good for playing a game.
I think you will like it. I think that you say you don't usually like shooters, but I really think that it is a mistake to describe this as a shooter because while it is physically a shooter, the gameplay loop is nothing like that genre.
Well, yeah, it's a Metroidvania. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It is Super Metroid in 3D.
I'm looking forward to that game. I think I will probably like it too. I am very excited to get to that. Wind Waker.
I'm hesitant on Wind Waker, not gonna lie. My feelings on it kind of get a little weaker as time goes by, and like I start to think that it has more problems, and I'm very conflicted on whether to play the GameCube original or the Wii U version, because the Wii U version makes a lot of great gameplay improvements and I think completely ruined the art style.
I'll be playing it on Wii U because that's just the version I own, and I love Wind Waker, and I'm very excited to go back to it, though I've only played it twice. And it'll be another chance for everybody to look at how awful I am at Zelda games. Because you've only gotten one chance for that in a 3D Zelda game so far.
Wind Waker's the easiest one, so.
That's true. Wind Waker is very, very easy. And lastly, Fire Emblem, The Blazing Blade.
That game is pretty good.
I'm going to hate it, I guarantee it. I'm not going to hate it. I don't think I'll hate it, but like,
I know permadeath is kind of a rough thing for you, but I think that with save states, you'll be fine.
That's the hope.
You will be fine. The RNG is a little weird in that game, though, so I'm going to have to remember to tell you about it, or else you're just going to get stuck in a frustrating loop forever because you don't realize what's happening.
Probably. I think that's what happened with Sacred Stones when I tried to play that long time
ago.
Yeah,
well, so the way that it works is that the RNG is decided at the start of the turn. So if you save state before doing something and then like an enemy gets a 2% critical hit on you and kills you and then you reload that save state, they're going to get that same critical hit again.
Oh, boy.
So you don't need to just roll the dice again. You need to change what you are doing.
And that would bring us up to 43 games.
That's a lot of video games.
Of the 86 that we are currently slated to play.
Exactly halfway.
Yeah, actually, that is the exact halfway point. Speaking of, we should go ahead. We've mentioned it a couple of times because it happened already, and it's also already on the spreadsheet. We haven't really been keeping it a secret. Sephiroth. He's here. I can't believe it. I still have trouble processing it, and I've played as him, but he's here. And we're going to play Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII. Of all of the non-Nintendo consoles I thought we were going to play games on for this show, I will say the PSP was not on my fucking list of possibilities.
Yeah, that one was a surprise for sure.
Like PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox, those were all relatively, like, relatively expected for the most part. Those aren't super weird.
We've got a PC game on our list.
Yeah, but a PSP. A fucking PSP game. That's hilarious. So, yeah, we will be playing Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII for Sephiroth. It will be a time.
I really know very little about Crisis Core. The only things that I know about Crisis Core are in the context of Remake.
I know it is an action game instead of being a... I think it's an action game instead of a RPG?
I have heard that there are cards involved.
Oh no, it's not Chain of Memories, is it? Oh god, oh no, ah fuck.
I have heard that it is not Chain of Memories.
Okay, good.
It's Rechain.
Fuck! Rechain sucks though! No! Can't we just play, like, Dissidia?
We'll play Air Guys.
Yeah, can't we just play Air Guys? God bless the ring. but we'll be playing Crisis Core. I think that'll be an interesting time. We're not going to hit that for a while.
Yeah, all these fake fans that are like, well, you have to play Kingdom Hearts now, right? You're fake Sephiroth fans, all of you.
Like, the first Kingdom Hearts, he doesn't even have speaking lines, despite the fact that they pulled in a member of NSYNC to voice him. He's a fucking optional boss. That doesn't even, like, he barely gets a cutscene to introduce him. He's just there. I did want to mention that, though. That we are actually going to do a secondary project. This is not for a podcast. People asked me multiple times after we... said that it was going to be a thing, whether we were going to do a podcast about it. No, we are not going to do a podcast about it. Or at least that's not in the plans right now, and I can't really foresee it becoming in the plans. But I'm going to drag you through Kingdom Hearts, the series.
I guess so.
We still don't 100% know what that's going to look like. Hopefully that'll start, I would say probably sometime in mid to late January is a good, like... area to sort of bank on it starting.
I have trouble looking more than 7 days into the future, so
that's where I come in. I don't, and that's why I have anxiety. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm actually very, very excited for it. We're gonna have a good I'm gonna have a good time. You have to play Kingdom Hearts.
Hooray.
All the Kingdom Hearts that aren't Kingdom Hearts 2, so you'll have a significantly less...
Oh, fuck. I'm gonna have to, like, stream from my PS4. That's gonna be awful.
Yep. Which we really gotta figure out how the fuck that's gonna work. Anyways...
It's not going to.
But that's what the next year is probably gonna look like, I hope.
I'm not gonna be able to play in surround sound either. This is a mistake.
Banjo is probably going to be out within the next couple weeks, I would hope, from this coming out. I think my current plan is I want to put this out on... If you're hearing this, I probably put it out on New Year's Eve. Just as an end-of-the-year cap. But yeah, Banjo will be out in a couple weeks, hopefully. Assuming it gets recorded within the next week or so, which... Not a guarantee.
It should.
But we're gonna try and make sure that happens. After that... We'll be jumping right into Puzzle League. Oh, we also hit Melee. Probably within the next year, too. We're going to do our special on Melee.
Yep, that's between Pikmin and Pac-Man World 2.
Yep, so that ought to be really interesting too, I think. Because then we don't hit another Smash game until 2008. And then they're like weirdly rapid fire after that.
There's about as many games between Melee and Brawl as there are between Brawl and 4.
True. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. Hopefully we all survive to see the end of it. I don't know. Climate change is happening. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it'll wipe out all copies of Pikmin in the world.
Why?
What?
Why Pikmin?
Because that's the environmental one. Because it has environmental noises. Good night, everybody.